We shall turn to God's word and listen to the letter to the Hebrews, and it's chapter 10. We will have our first portion of God's word in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 to 39. 28 to 39. Let us hear God's word. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bond, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And may the Lord bless us by the reading of his holy word. Amen. Now we shall turn to God's word, and in fact our text is in Hebrews chapter 12. I would encourage you that in your own time, if you could spend time reading the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, where we have the examples of Christians, believers, and their endurance right to the end. But we want to look at the text which is in chapter 12. And I shall read first two verses. My subject this evening is running the race. Running the race. That's the subject. And our text is first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Let us hear God's word. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord bless us and be gracious to us by his word through the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us turn to God in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly and thank and praise you for our blessed Redeemer and ever-living Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And Father God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, through your word, you would bring to our remembrance the glory of our Savior, and especially the subject that we want to look at this evening, and this portion of your holy word. We ask you humbly, O Lord, that you would teach us as your people, that we would learn what it means for us to run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray to you, O Lord, that you would grant us hearing ears. And we pray, O Lord, that we may, and none of us be any of here who would hear your word with one ear and let it go through the other. But we pray that we would hear and we would, O Lord, meditate upon it. Let it settle in our minds and hearts and live by it. Because we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And brethren, do excuse me if I do cough a bit. Just by way of introduction, I want to say that here we know that when it comes to sports, on the Lord's Day, neither we talk about sports nor we play sports. But I'm drawing your attention to this text wherein we see that athletic analogy is the dominant one in these opening verses of chapter 12. So I shall be making reference to that and giving some examples. And as you know, my subject is running the race. The kind of race here that we are talking about and God's holy word teaches us is not the 100 meters race or 10,000 meters hurdle race. And in fact, here the writer uses the analogy of race and teaches us spiritual lessons and teaches us about our Christian faith and the race that is set before us. So we are really looking at the race of Christian faith and our life here below, and endurance even to the end, that is to the death, that as long as God in his grace may grant us days and years and life, that we endure unto death. And that's what we learn here in this portion, indeed in the whole epistle. Because you remember, the writer to the Hebrews wrote this epistle to Christians that who are in the danger of drifting away in their hearts. Not that there is danger here, God forbid. But this is when we as Christians look in our own hearts, there's always we must guard our own heart. Because there is that the sinful flesh that we have, the temptations unto sin, we still have the presence of sin, though saved by God's grace through Christ's perfect sacrifice. And we see the world around us. And as Christians, we are always to be encouraged and warned. And indeed, I am addressing this evening to Christian believers in particular. If you could turn with me to the opening chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews, you notice that the writer gives warning. And by doing, he's encouraging. He does not want anyone to be left behind. You notice in chapter 2, where he says, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, then he goes on to say, how shall we escape if we neglect, or it also can be understood or read, if we ignore so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. That is the Lord. And notice, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now what the writer is saying, that surely if those who heard what was preached to them or brought the message by angel, now if we ignore now what has come to us through the Lord, our Lord, then surely there's no way that we would escape the judgment and the wrath of God. So we must pay full attention. That's why you see he begins to unfold beautifully the glory of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of his sacrifice for our sins. And this epistle is really in a beautiful way brings to us the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you notice, as I said, running the race here, what we're looking is the race is of a Christian faith, and it is the whole life of endurance unto death. Endurance is the key word. If you notice, I would encourage you, spend time in your own time, which you have already done, brethren and my friends, that in the context of our text, word endurance keep coming. And that's what the writer now encourages the people of God, is that we must also endure to the end, unto death. And you notice chapter 10, verse 39, just to remind us again where I ended my reading. It says that, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, because there were those who drew back and were destroyed, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes on to give the example, not one example, examples of Christian believers in chapter 11 who endured to the end. Well, this brings me to my text. These are just few things by way of introduction. Now I want to give and present to you just 2 points this evening. Subject, running the race. My first point is our attitude in running this race. That's point number one. And this point number two is our example set before us in running this race. So it's really the first point, the attitude, and the second, the example. So let's begin with the first point, our attitude in running this race. Now, under my first point, I'm going to say firstly and secondly. Firstly, let us look at the word that the writer gives us to encourage us. Now, firstly, the word to encourage us. Secondly, the word to warn us. So we begin, firstly, the word the writer gives here to encourage us. Look at how he puts it in verse 1, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Notice, he is giving a word of encouragement in running this race, that we are to not run just one off, but we are to go on running. That's why in my subject, I haven't said run the race, but it's a running that speaks of the continuity, that we must go on, endure to the end. And you notice that he uses here the picture really like a cloud of witnesses. And I'm not going to go back into the Old Testament. You know, you're well learned and in these things, and you notice that it brings back to our memories all that even illusion of God's grace and providence for His people in the wilderness, when there was cloud over above the people of God. All they had seen God's mighty acts of deliverance in Egypt and from Egypt, and all the way the Lord led His people throughout. And then now here He uses the illustrative picture. Here you notice when He says we have a great cloud of witnesses, the picture here is of an arena where spectators are seated and runners are down there. And the purpose here is really to cheer up those that are running down there. Now, why I was drawn to this subject, because during the time of Olympics, I have been thinking of the illustrations and pictures God's holy word uses to spur us in our endurance in this Christian life. And some of the illustrations that God's word has for us, that we can learn lessons, take heed from it. And you see, it's true, when there is a race going on, you notice in the arena just there are seats above that there are there to cheer them up. So that's the whole idea, is that, and especially when runners are in the home ground. And you notice, and I do not take the view, and negatively speaking, I don't take the view as some have taken, as if there are Christian saints above from there looking from heaven above. But I take the other view, is that we actually have their examples recorded in chapter 11. So we don't need to look up. We need to look here in God's holy word, that how they endured. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews has given in chapter 11 that wonderful, beautiful example of all the Christian believers, how they endured in this race that was set before them. And that's the word to encourage us. Now, by way of application, I may ask you, or want to ask you, that what is your attitude in running this race? How have you run this race of faith that is set before you? How have you been running as a Christian? And it's a word to the people of God, that when God has appointed His holy men, ministers, and they bring to our remembrance, instructs us, teach us, as a people, how have we responded in running this race? You see, I ask you, do you pray daily? Do you read your Bible? Do you have this ongoing holy, this daily communion with God, fellowship? These all must take place as we run this race. We cannot expect, you cannot expect as a Christian growth in grace and in sanctification if a Christian is not reading his Bible daily, prayers and time with God, and also attending to the means, the public means of God's grace. These all are to spur us, to encourage us in running this race. So often our attitude is, we may have all that means that God has given and still have an attitude of indifference and not take it earnestly and seriously. And that's why we must watch out our sinful flesh that we have to put to death daily. Because often that is what would obstruct us in running the race. We'll come to that as we pick up the analogy. But may the Lord help us and give us grace. You see, you notice, just as an Olympian athlete would have this attitude, and his desire is that, you notice, he wants to win in the race. So it's not that somebody who just give up or gives up on the way surely does not get crown. So we know that if a person is, he says, he has the attitude, oh, I can't be bothered. And there are, we know as Christians, that the doctrine of election, that we are to make sure, because that those who are God's true elect, those who are truly God's elect, saved by God's grace, we know that they will persevere. They will go on. But we must make it sure, our election, in that those who are truly of God's children, they will show. They may stumble down, fall back, they rise up, and they go on by God's grace. So therefore we must be encouraged and challenged in that, because there is a crown of life in waiting for every Christian believer who goes on and endures. So that's firstly. Now secondly, here we have a word to exhort us. By exhortation, I mean here is to warn us. Notice in our text, not only he encourages, but in the second part of verse 1, he says, let us. Now secondly, this is word to warn us. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, you notice here that he mentions every weight. Now, weight here, it is not only wearing heavy and bulky things. You know, the runners were warned that in their race, and it's true today, that they would not be wearing bulky metals or heavy things that they can't run, that was because in their race, it will actually obstruct or be hindrance to their agility when they want to run. So they want to take off any weight or anything that would hinder them in running this race. And a weight here also means, and please forgive me, I'm not making any reference, I have to expound the meaning here. It actually, weight can also mean, in the word of God here, is that you notice the excessive fat that if a person who wants to run the race, that he has to take care of it. So then he could sort of, in running that race, there would, that would not, that weight be obstruction in running this race. But what is this weight that God's word speaks of? In fact, he defines what this weight is. Look at in our text, verse 1. The very next word, it says, having said that, lay aside every weight. And then he goes on to say, and what is this weight? He answers there, it defined. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. You notice the writer teaches us that this weight is to do with sin. Sin in a Christian believer's life. He is writing to the Christian believers, to the church, and this weight is sin. Now, in the notice, if you read in the Greek, the original Greek here, then actually when it says easily beset us, if I give you the literal translation, it reads here, is the easily beset mean standing well around you. Standing well around you. That's what it means, easily beset you. So we have to watch out that our own hearts, that we still got the presence of sin in us, and that we, by God's grace, put to death. What the term we use, mortification, is daily. It has to be done daily. That there has to be daily true repentance in a Christian believer's life as we run this race. Because it's so easy. Because the point the writer makes, that this sin, notice, is that can become a snare to a child of God. This sin can easily ensnare you as you are running this race as a child of God. So we have to, just as I suggest, in every race there is a runner have to avoid. And then he's given guidelines that what he should even eat in his diets and dietary instruction. If you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that looking at this, I want you to please observe that people who run race, earthly race, that how zealous they are, how earnest they are to have perishing crowns, medal, and it's just for this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. Notice how in Paul's days, these runners and those who took part in the race could do this self-discipline. I'll read these verses. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, notice, not in some things, in all things. No, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, notice, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You notice what Paul is making the point here is this, that look at those men, that in Paul's days, they would look for their corruptible crowns, perishing crown, and they would have that discipline and temperate in all things, and yet, and they do here today. You see, in those days, when Paul wrote these things, that you notice at the end of when they would win a crown, what was that crown? It was just a crown of fig leaves. You remember that if you check or notice what they would have, winners would have, Olympians in Paul's time, at the end of it, it would be just a crown of fig leaves. It would dry out soon, within a week's time. But today, winners get a bit better, little gold, but still perishable. But the point Paul makes is that if they can do, and if they are so determined just for a perishable crown, how much more those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are Christian believers, that we are to be spurred in our mortification of sin and in putting sin to death, putting every sin that could become a hindrance or ensnare us, we have to lay aside because we're looking at better things. We look forward for a crown of life that never perishes. We look forward for the day when Christians, the people of God, if they are truly God's children, one day will be in glory with the Lord Jesus and be with Him in heaven, a place of righteousness, where righteousness dwells and the glory of God. We have far better things than these earthly runners and sports personality. Isn't that shocking that men who minds and hearts are set upon earthly things, earthly medals, how excited they get? We saw all that hype, you know, before the Olympics, and I was there with the members and some doing evangelism outreach, and I could see the excitement, all that. And when it was, it's like balloon, its burst is gone. And now, you see, and there were some people, I noticed that this Olympic wasn't over, and there were people, dietitians, standing outside Stratford Station, almost registering people for the next Olympics. And there are those who said, I'm waiting for, when is this Olympic going to be over, so I can be ready for Brazil, you know. And the circle goes round and round, and you look at them and you say, my friend, what are you living for? Vanities. All is perishing. But here, Paul, the man of God, encourages us, challenges, spurs us, that we have crown of life that it never perishes. Imperishable crown. Oh, may the Lord help us and encourage us that we will take this seriously and earnestly. Now, this leads me to our second point. And the second point, as I said, is our example. Our example, as I said, set before us in running this race. We have better example. Paul, the man of God, the writer to the Hebrews, has already given us many examples of Christians in chapter 11. But isn't that amazing that he does not stop short there? He moves on and brings us to the perfect example. The perfect example comes in chapter 12. Because just as all the Christian believers who looked forward and believed in the Lord Jesus and embraced him by faith, we also look backward and embrace Jesus Christ and him crucified by faith. So you see all the examples. So their example, though great, but not a perfect one. That's why he brings us in verse 2 in our text, our second point is verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You notice the example here is the perfect one. And it's the example here, notice set before us, I want you to please observe with me, is that example is now the perfect one, is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this perfect example is of endurance in verse 2. Because we read that, who for the joy that was set before him, endured, notice, endured the cross. Again, we are brought back to the word endurance. And endurance here is of our perfect Redeemer, perfect Savior, perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, earthly examples abound. During the Olympic times, we learned that winners in the Olympic Games were actually being used as role models. The buzz phrase has been inspire a generation. And we know these role models, and though they may be good, some of them, but they're not perfect. They are, noted, as sinful as those who are going to follow them. So no way these role models are better or a good example. They're not a perfect one, because they're as bad as they were going to follow them. But here the writer brings to our remembrance and attention the perfect role model. If you are a child of God, you're a Christian, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, this surely must excite you. This must really stir you up in your love to Christ, that I have a Redeemer, my Savior, there's none like him. He's the fairest of 10,000. There's none who can be compared to him. A perfect, the only perfect role model for us. And the writer says his perfect example is set before us, before you and I, as Christians. It's set before us as perfect example. And notice, his example is set before us. It's not behind us. It's not around us. And when we look unto Jesus, this verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, notice, the author and finisher of our, we're looking unto him. One of the biggest problems of Christians in our churches and including ours or in other parts of the world is often Christians, when they are running their race, sometimes like a machine, they get stuck because sin can get them stuck. And so often in our churches, sometimes problems that are so trivial, like a machine, it's a big working machine, but all it takes is a little pebble to get somewhere stuck. And often in churches of Christ, problems are not always big problems, they're always very trivial. As a pastor, and I'm a pastor's son, my father is a Baptist minister back in Pakistan, and I grew and learned that around the years, most of the time, they are trivial, if you call. And yet they were made mole is mound mountain. And you know, and then you see Christianity. No, when we are looking unto Jesus, because in the churches of Christ, Christians are not to look around. You are a Christian, sister, brother here. You are not to look around, and I am very direct now, practical. It's not to look around the Joe and Jack or whatever is someone around you. Is here Joe and Jack together or whatever? Together we all are to look unto Jesus. Isn't that? The perfect is set before you. We must always have Christ before us. Just as in a race, if a runner, while he's running, is keep looking around, he's not going to advance. He's going to get slower in his race. It can get stuck. So therefore, we got to watch out our hearts, because our hearts are sinful and terrible. And we may the Lord be merciful unto us. Because we learn here, notice, that when the writer brings this perfect example, and we're looking at our second point in verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus the author. Now I have to give you the simple meaning, which you already have learned here. But just as a reminder, the writer when says the author, you see now, author here, of course we believe Jesus is the author of our salvation. He is the source of all our blessings that have come to us through Christ and redemption in His blood and by His blood. He is the source. That's true, of course. That's in one sense, this is, we all would say amen to this. But when the writer uses the word author here, in fact, there's another sense of the meaning here of the author. He is actually using the author here in the sense of Jesus Christ, our Savior, being a champion. Champion of our salvation in running in this endurance. Look at, he tells us that, you could read it, looking unto Jesus, who is the champion and finisher. And notice, of our faith. So, and then he goes on to tell us that in what sense he is our champion. Because the writer zooms back to the days of our Savior in his true human flesh here below. When you see, the writer is drawing our attention when the Son of God, he truly became man. God was manifest in flesh. You notice that. And then he endured. So is the endurance of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, is brought to our attention of his earthly days here below. That's what is the meaning there. It comes to us. Look at, who for the joy that was set before him, notice, endured the cross. So he sort of brings to our attention the cross, that he endured the sufferings of the cross. But before he went, when it says the cross, means he died. The cross means the death of the Son of God and of our Lord Jesus in his true humanity, true human Jesus and truly divine. Notice, before he died, the writer also tells us that before he went to the cross, look at, despising, notice he endured despising the shame, and it's, notice all that shame that he had to face, all the mockery, all that went before he died on the cross in our place for our sins and transgressions. And that is amazing, wonderful example before us. Surely in that sense he is our champion in his endurance. Because the cross that was set before him, he endured to the end. Isn't that amazing? We have such a perfect example that when we as Christians go through this life, no matter whatever your cross would be, we bear it daily. No cross is so heavy or unbearable than the cross he bore for you and for me. Therefore, we should say, and look at his suffering and all what he endured is a great encouragement to every believer. And this is when a Christian focuses upon Christ and his cross, then this makes a great, it makes all the difference. So when we take our eyes off Christ, we do not go on looking unto Jesus and his cross, his all the endurance, then we could get stuck, any of us. And then we could say, any little trouble, any little somebody mocks you and says something nasty, you had said, I'm going to get my back. And that's often his problem with Christians. And you notice, I have not time to go into Peter's epistle, but having gone through 1 Peter quite systematically when I was in Southall, what I learned is that when you go through 1 Peter, Peter wrote that epistle to Christians who were suffering on account of their Christian faith. Their crime was that they were Christian. They were made homeless. And then he encourages them. 1 Peter is a very pastoral epistle in that sense. He encourages them. He said that through sufferings, Christian sufferings are followed in glory. And then he brings a wonderful example again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The just suffered for the unjust. Read that epistle. And he encourages Christians that when you are mocked, ridiculed, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You live here as a church. You are located here. Around you there are people who ridicule your faith, who made mockery. But you as a child of God, daily walking with the Lord, encouraged that you have such a Savior, who alone can save sinners. There is none like Him. He's not given us a philosophy or ideology or a religion of ritual. No, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Christ alone can save sinners. There is no ideology, no philosophy can save sinners from the wrath of God, the judgment of God. That's why it's the preaching of the cross. You see, it's foolishness to the world, but to us it's the power of God, those who are being saved. Therefore, every Christian, when you leave this place, you live in your neighborhood, you should always be excited, thrilled. You should be chatting about, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, your glorious Savior. And you say, there's none like Him. And that should spur us in our Christian witness, telling others, have you heard the Lord Jesus? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? This should be every Christian's joy. Because most they haven't heard, if they have heard, it's a twisted version, or they have heard things that are wrong. You have to say, let me read to you what the Bible says. They may not believe, but you, trusting in God and Holy Spirit, is to speak the glorious gospel. Oh, brethren, may the Lord help us as I come to the end of my message. In closing, I say that the Lord has set the race before us. The Lord has set this race for us. It's not us, you and I have set this race. This race of faith, which is the race of all our life, endurance unto death. The Lord has set it. And every Christian has the finishing line. The Lord has set it. We have a finishing line. And God's Holy Spirit is with us, our comforter, our helper, and all the means that He's given us, and His Holy Word. He's given us. We have Holy Spirit and we have Holy Word. And we have both. We lack nothing. And the Lord has set and marked the boundary in this race. And the boundary is God's Word. And it's whereby when we run this race, we come to the boundary. We come to that what God has said here. We study the Word, meditate upon. We learn that this is God's written will. There is no excuse for any Christian. What is God's will? I know there is a mystery of God's will, that sometimes there are things that are hidden we do not know. But when it's things pertaining to our salvation, God has given us His revelation for the state that we are here in our state of imperfection. He's given us the Holy Word that we read it, that we learn it. It's not that what is God's will for me? God's will for me is His Holy Word. My problem is that I do not live by it. So often man's problem is. And so often is man's problem that I and you or any of you may say have an excuse that rather than living by the word is to ask, what is God's will? That's the problem with man. They ask the uses and excuses. I do not know. We know it. That's God has said, given us guideline by which we have to run this race. So brethren, let us run this race with patience. Patience and endurance. That's what endurance is. Patience. And we must run with endurance and patience. And when you think of word patience, it has a beautiful meaning. When we think of patience, the Christians are to be patient. It means that Christians are to remain under God. Under God. In running this race all the way through. But let us lay aside every sin which can beset us easily or beset you easily. And do not look around you, but look unto Jesus and keep on looking unto Jesus, who is the champion and the finisher of our faith. And He's given us the perfect example. May the Lord help us and give us grace to do so. Amen.